Good morning. I'm sorry we're not able to have church service today, but we're going to be bringing the message that it's a Palm Sunday message about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 19. We'll be reading a good part of that passage in John chapter 19. Let's begin in verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by the law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate saith unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold, your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, 'They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots.' These things therefore the soldiers did." Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of this passage. We know it's been a longer passage, but it's so necessary, Lord, for us to hear this account. And we thank you for what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. I pray that you would guide our thoughts today as we look into your word. Teach us, Lord, we pray. And may that person that's without Jesus come to realize that the cure for their problem is found in Jesus, and that he can save them from their sins. And I pray that they would come to faith in you today. Give enablement to bring the message. Encourage us all, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dealing with the coronavirus has caused many of us to look forward to the day when we can say, the war on COVID-19 is over. The silent enemy has been defeated. There will no doubt be celebrations when that time comes, and hopefully our economy will come roaring back. But until that, we have to admit that the time of social distancing and stay-at-home orders has been a time of learning for many. Some parents have come to realize they have a lot more to learn about parenting. A greater appreciation for teachers has been gained by many, and for some parents, they have discovered that the teachers were not the problem. After all, it was their kids. And in some cases, maybe they discovered that they, the parents, were the problem. They had not disciplined and trained their children as they should. Couples have spent more time together, and it's either improved or deteriorated their relationship. And if they are wise, the husband and the wife have discovered that there are ways in which they need to improve themselves. Also, time away from loved ones who we do not live with, such as parents or grandparents or grandchildren, have made us more thankful for them and more appreciative of their value to us. And some are more thankful for their job, if they still have one. And we could go on and on, but the point is, the disruption of our normal lives has had an effect on everyone, and when victory comes, it will be sweet. The coronavirus is a dreaded disease. None of us want to get it, and we do all we can to avoid being infected by it. Most of those who contact the virus will recover from its effects, but a small percentage are brought down and sadly are killed by this silent enemy. But there is a disease that is far more deadly than COVID-19. That disease is sin. Sin started after God created the angels. Sometimes after creation week, Lucifer, a created angel, had a thought of pride and selfishness when he said, I will be like the Most High. This was the first sin, and it caused Lucifer to be cast out of heaven by God. Lucifer became Satan, who appeared to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He tempted her to sin, to disobey God. He asked her to question the goodness of God and his motives. He told her if she ate of the forbidden fruit, she would not surely die, as God had said, but would be wise like God. Eve believed Satan's lie, and she ate of the fruit, disobeying God. This was the first sin in the human race. Then Eve gave the fruit to Adam, her husband, and he also ate in disobedience to God. From that first case of sin, it has spread to all mankind. Everyone is infected. Romans 5, verse 12 says, Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Every human being from Adam on has been born a sinner. David said like this in Psalm 51, verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He's not talking about the act that caused conception. He's talking about the fact that he was born a sinner. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Yes, everybody is a sinner. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have the disease of sin, and it's more deadly than COVID-19 because it brings death to everyone. Romans 5:12, remember, says, "Death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And James 1:15 says, "Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Today, many scientists and doctors are searching for a cure for COVID-19. Some meds seem promising to help those who have contracted the virus, and a vaccine is being developed. But nothing is conclusive, and no vaccine is yet available. But God has good news for everyone. A cure has been provided for the deadly disease of sin. Jesus is the cure. Because he fought the disease of sin for us, he has also won the victory. This morning, we read the account of Jesus' death on Calvary. He died as our substitute. He died for our sins so that we could be rescued from its deadly effects. The Bible makes it clear that God demands the shedding of blood to pay for sins. So it shouldn't surprise us that we see that on the cross of Calvary. Back in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul." Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Ephesians 1:7, "We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." 1 Peter 1:18-19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So when Jesus went to the cross, God laid all the sin of the world upon him. Not part of the sin, but all the sin. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." And in case we wonder if that includes everybody, it says in 1 John 2, verse 2, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So sin was laid on Jesus. He became our substitute. He took our place. And since the Bible says without the shedding of blood there's no remission, then we can expect on the cross of Calvary that Jesus shed all of his blood for us. It's interesting to note, and most of these are in the passage that we've read this morning, but Jesus lost blood from, I would say, seven different locations that blood came from his body. First of all, his face. The Bible says in Isaiah 50, verse 6, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair." Yes, they actually plucked the beard out of Jesus' face. That must have been very painful, and the blood must have flowed from those wounds as well. Also to his face, Mark chapter 14, verse 65 says, they began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say, "Prophesy." In other words, the word buffeting means they hit him with their fist. And right before that, it says they covered his face. And then they said, "Prophesy." In other words, tell us who hit you. You tell us, we've blindfolded you so that you can't see. And so if you're so great, you tell us who hit you. And so those strong Roman soldiers were hitting him with their fist in his face. So he must have lost a lot of blood from his face. The Bible says in John 19, verse 1 that we just read, that they scourged him. That was his back. And so they would take the cat of nine tails and they would whip Jesus' back with that cat of nine tails. And it was devised so that it cut into his flesh, and it was a terrible punishment as they whipped his back and the blood flowed from his back. And then the Bible says in John chapter 19, verse 2, that the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. I've seen the type of thorns that were in the Holy Land in that day, and they're long thorns, and they made a crown on those, and they thrust that down on his head, and that would cause the head to bleed profusely. So he's losing blood from his face, he's losing blood from the top of his head, he's losing blood from his back, and then the Bible says they crucified him. John 19, verse 18, they crucified him. We know that to crucify him, they took nails and put it in his hands and in his feet. So there were two places for the hands. There was the right hand on one side, and there was the left hand on the other side. So blood is flowing from the end of both of his arms, from his hands. He's losing blood. They took the feet and put those feet together. And then they took one large nail, and they drove it through both feet as he was attached to the cross of Calvary. And so blood flowed from his feet. And then the Bible says right after he died, a soldier came by and was going to break his legs, but found that he was already dead. So he took a spear and thrust it in the side of Jesus. And the Bible says, forthwith came there out blood and water. So Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for us. God said, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission. Jesus took all the sin of the world upon himself. He was the perfect, spotless Son of God, yet he became sin for us, and he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for us. Right before he died, he cried this. We find it recorded there in John 19. And he said, "It is finished." That means paid in full. The victory had been won. The price was paid in full for our redemption. Redemption means release by the payment of a price. The price was the blood of Jesus, and we are released from sin if we trust him because he paid the price for our sins. The deadly disease of sin has a cure, and it's available to everyone. You do not have to die of the disease of sin. You can be rescued. You can be saved from eternal damnation. And the good news is, it's free. It's already paid for. All you must do is believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're listening to my voice this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you've never come to the place where you put your faith and trust in Him. The Bible says you must believe what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. Call out to Him and ask him to save you, and the Bible says that he will. John 1, verse 11 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So he died for us. He paid the price for us. But that does not mean you're saved. You're saved when you believe that and receive Christ as your Savior. John 3, verse 16 to 18 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, you must believe. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So this is great news. The greatest disease ever known, the disease that's deadly, the disease that affects everyone, and the result of that is death. eternal separation from God. That greatest disease has a cure. You don't have to die from that disease. Jesus died for you, and all you have to do is believe it. Now, I ask you, are people rushing to receive the cure? Well, sadly, the answer is no. Just like when Jesus died, they rejected him. Let's look at this account again and note some things. Why do people reject the Lord today? What is their response to the Lord and what he did for them? How do they treat the fact that Jesus has a cure for them? Well, the Bible says in this passage that the soldiers mocked. Look at John 19, verses 2 and 3. It says the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, mocking him as the king. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands, mocking the Lord Jesus. Then over in the Gospel of Matthew, we read of their response. And it says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 27, it's speaking of the soldiers again. It says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered to him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.'" Also, the Bible says in verse 37 that the passers-by that day mocked the Lord. It says in verse 37, and he said over him this accusation, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And verse 39, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" The religious leaders also joined in and mocked. Verse 41, "Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God.'" And not only did they mock, but the Bible also tells us that the thieves hanging beside the Lord, one on each side of the Lord, they also mocked. In verse 44, it says, "The thieves also, which crucified him, cast the same in his teeth." So how do people respond? Well, today they mock. They make fun of Christianity. They mock at the fact that there's salvation in Jesus. They make comments like, "Well, somebody died 2,000 years ago and shed his blood. You think that's going to help me?" And it doesn't make sense to them. And it's foolishness to them, and they mock. Well, then there's another reaction they had back then that people have today. And that is, people are more concerned about their prestige and what others think of them. John chapter 19, verse 12 says this, "And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, 'If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar.' And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and set down the judgment hall, set in a place called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha." And so, when he heard about the fact that he would not be considered Caesar's friend, it really troubled him, because he thought more about being accepted by somebody else. He thought more about his prestige than it did about Jesus. The same is true today. People are thinking more about their prestige than they are about Jesus, about trusting him as their personal Savior. And so they're concerned about what people think of them, and many people reject the Lord because their friends might not like them if they become a Christian. And then also there's another reason. They do not want the Lord Jesus to be their ruler, their king, their Lord. John 19, verse 15 says this. It says, And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Some listening to my voice today, you won't trust Jesus as your Savior because you want to live your own life. You want to do your own thing. You want to have it your way. You don't want God to tell you what to do. You don't want to give up your sin. You don't want Jesus to be Lord. You want someone else to be Lord, and that's yourself, or behind the scenes, it's the devil. And so you do not want him to be king. The same was true back then. Also, others were concerned about material things. You know, there are people today who won't trust Jesus as their Savior because they're too involved in getting things. It's interesting that at the foot of the cross, the soldiers weren't interested in Jesus. They weren't thinking much about him as the Son of God and doing what he's doing on the cross. That didn't even bother them. He was just a criminal in their minds, dying. And so at the foot of the cross, they were involved in things. Look at what it says in verse 23. "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be that the scripture,'" and of course this is added, "that the scripture might be fulfilled." They were just interested in things. They wanted a part of his clothes. And one part of his clothes was so valuable because it's woven from the top to the bottom, they decided they weren't going to divide it, so they just bartered for it. And they were concerned about things. Many people today will go through their life, they won't trust Jesus because all they're interested in are the things that this world provides. And they gain their things, and they lose their soul. And then there was another reason. Look at John chapter 19, verse 31. And that is, these people, we see, were more concerned about religion than about Jesus. You know, there's a lot of religious people who reject Jesus. There's a lot of religious people who are really given to their religion, but they don't have faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. It says in verse 31, "The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." They were interested in a regulation that these bodies would not be left on this holy day. They disregarded the fact that they had just crucified a man they knew was not guilty. They knew they had lied about him. They got false witnesses against him. They knew that, but he was a threat to their power. He was a threat to their religion. And so they were determined to keep their religion, but reject Jesus. Many people today won't put their faith in what Jesus did for them on the cross, but they put their faith in their religion. The things they do, and the good deeds they do, and the forms they go through, and they reject Jesus because of religion. I hope that you're not rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now I know that we're all concerned about the coronavirus, but there is a greater problem than COVID-19, the coronavirus. You see, our problem is we all are sinners. We deserve God's judgment. We cannot pay for our sins. The Bible says there's no way you can pay for your sins. That it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We cannot earn our way to heaven. You can't be good enough to earn your way to get to heaven. The end of sin is separation from God in hell. We have a problem. And that problem is we have the disease of sin. And if you haven't accepted the cure, someday you're going to die of that and you're going to go to hell. But there is a cure. Salvation has been paid for, and it's free. Today might be your last opportunity for the cure. Think about it like this. Today, you might die of the disease of sin. And when you die, it'll be too late. I ask you, friend, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? The work is done. He said, it is finished. But there remains to know what you're going to do about that. Are you going to put your faith and trust in Jesus? I hope if you're not saved that today you will call out to the Lord and say, Lord, I agree with you. I'm a sinner. I deserve the wrath of God, but I believe that you died for me. You love me, and you died for me and paid the price for my sins, and then you rose again on the third day from the grave. You are alive today, and you want to be my Savior, but you've asked me to believe, and Lord, I do believe. I believe that you did all that for me, and I trust you right now. I accept you as my Savior. If you'll do that, my friend, you'll know that you have received the cure, and sin will not send you to hell. Someday, you'll go to heaven. May God bless you and help you to consider these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, today, for the privilege to share your word, and we ask that each one listening, Lord, will examine themselves to see whether they have trusted Jesus as their Savior. Tomorrow could be too late. Help them to realize that today is the day of salvation. We pray in Jesus' name.